So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be allowed privilege to be in your presence, Lord, in this hour, and especially to recognize it, because we know the whole world is really in your presence now by your omniscience and omnipotence. But Father, we realize there is a greater presence, which is you yourself, the person of the Holy Ghost and the pillar of fire to lead your people into the millennium. And you've been here, Lord, descended in the shout by voice of the prophet. We're grateful for that, Lord. We only pray now that what you told us through the voice of your prophet, these messages will apprehend, O Lord, absolutely make them ours by reason of the mechanical power that lies within us through the instrumentality of our minds and the Spirit. But then by the Holy Ghost, Lord, to make it live, we pray that we might be living word, Father, because that's what it's all about. We ask you to help us, Lord, to understand, therefore, that it might be right, that you might, O God, as you could not inhabit the temple until it was made according to the pattern absolutely given, you would not come down, be in the Ark of Covenant either, Lord. No way would you come. And so, Lord, we know this word has got to be right within us, or there's no way that you will bless it. It will come alive in us. Help us, Father, to not take one word, add one word, but to just leave it the way it is, and understand our portion for this hour, Father. That's what we desire. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're continuing, it's number 8 in Who is This Melchizedek, preached by Brother Branham. And in this message, Brother Branham showed us that the principle utilized by God, wherein he himself came down as man amongst men, is the same way in which we came down and come down, though the order is not perfect chronologically. We'll look at that in a minute or two. The order is not chronologically perfect with the order that God himself came, which you'll notice the bypassing of the word body, the spirit body, the theophany, whichever you want to call it. Now, to give us insight, he started with God first taking the human form of a priest. It wasn't a true man, as far as we know. Not flesh and blood as we know. It couldn't have been. It was a theophany, but it was a form of a man, of a human form of a priest, and then forming himself into flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said he didn't appear as Melchizedek anymore, but he came as Jesus Christ. So we're going to go to the drawing board to see this and see what we can do with what we have in mind here. I get some proper pencils. Now, we go back to the very beginning where the Lord was just all by himself. God was all by himself. We'll put that green up here. And then Brother Branham mentions that God began to manifest himself, to come forth to a degree. And we'll just put this over here. Now, this shouldn't be blue, but all we got here. I can't draw amber. And so we'll put this in over here as the Logos manifestation coming from God. Now, I want to read you from Question and Answers in Genesis, what Brother Branham brought. And what you do when you hear this, you just simply believe it. Because we're into a very, very difficult doctrine here of the Godhead. The simplistic doctrine is that there is one God, he is spirit, and he had a son. But all that was said about God manifesting and having a son is where the problem comes, the differentiation. I'm not going to try to do it at this point. Now, he was, in other words, Adam, the first man and the lower creations of God. He's talking about man here, so we'll read. Now, if God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? And the answer is a spirit man. See, notice if you'll notice, after he had made all creation and created a spirit man, and reading close of this now, to the one that asked the question, we'll find this, that God gave dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. But in his making up here, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. See? He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Now, he doesn't think he means by that that God was created, but he's putting the order of the cosmos of God and the creation of God. And God began, of course, to create himself into a human form, into a form which he did first. He could have the double meaning here, that God was first, there was nothing beside him, and then he began to create himself, bring forth something which would be, as Brother Branham said, the veil, which according to him hid and yet revealed. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. There is nothing that has been hidden except that it might be revealed. In other words, God's principle holds true. Brother Branham didn't know one thing about that verse of Scripture in a more modern English form, but he sure hit it on the head. The first creation was God himself, then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. So we have up here, notice he said the Logos was the Son of God. So when you talk about the Son of God, you've got to go all the way back here, whether you like it or not. Now, there's no mention in the Old Testament except in one place about God having a son, and that's in the book of Proverbs. Can you name his son? To my knowledge, there's no place. He does say, though, thou art forever priest after the order of Melchizedek. So you have an understanding of the prophecies concerning what we understand to be way down here, 4,000 years later at least, down here in Jesus, the Christ. And that simply means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay. The first creation was God himself, then out of God came the Logos. There you are right there, and there you are right there. Which was the Son of God? Okay. We'll put it down, Son of God, because that's what it is. Now remember, when you deal with Spirit of God, Son of God, let's just stop right here and go to the book of Romans, which Brother Branham went to, when he talked about Jesus Christ coming back as the Holy Spirit. Now remember, that is exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians. He said the one that came down and went into Hades is the one that went up, is the one that came down. Understand what I'm saying? Don't try to figure it. Just say, sure, I see that because that's what the Bible says. In other words, when he came back as the Holy Ghost, it's the same one that came down, that went down into the ground. Now, you say, well, that's true. Now, don't figure it. There's many things you and I, we may figure, but we may not figure too. But that's the Bible. That's Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, in Romans here, the first chapter, it says here, the third verse concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, that's his son Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. Now notice what it says there, his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now he wasn't the Lord of the people, really, until he came down in this form and associated himself with the people. Because now you got literally, since God is an object of worship, there is nobody who cannot worship Jesus Christ. So that puts him in the category of God, but it doesn't put him here. But Brother Branham said the difference between Jesus Christ and God was one had a beginning. So there again, don't try to figure it. Just say, hey, man, that's the way it is. You know, it's the same as punching a light switch on the wall. Just punch it and see what happens. Other, just believe this and let it go. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Not previously, but from the dead. So now God has given us his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. Right? The prophet said so. Now don't try to figure it. Don't you try to figure it, just believe it. Up here then, to here. Logos. The Son of God. And remember, Brother Branham tells us, which every student will tell you, Jesus did not identify himself as the Son of God. He admitted that he was, but he identified himself as the Son of Man. See? So, all right. We got that far. Okay. The first creation was God himself, then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God, then out of the Logos, which was the Word, came forth the man. Okay, we won't make him such pretty colors. Put a little black down here. Out of here, come toward man. Just think it over. Don't try to figure it. Say, that's the way it is. Now, I'm not your teacher. The Holy Ghost is through Brother Branham. I'm just trying to help you a little bit here. when you go sit under a scientist who has been noted for his ability to prove his case and thereby knows what he's saying, you listen attentively, respectfully, and credulously, you believe that person. All right? Notice here, to here, down here. That's what he said, right? Oh, now watch. I got a beautiful picture in my mind now, if you can take a little trip with me. I believe I've talked on it before, but to get to this place where you'll be sure to see it, he's going to say it again. Now, let's take a little trip and go back a little while. Now, don't think about how hot it is. Let's get our minds right on what we're going to talk about and think now. So don't think if you're cold, how cold it is. And above all, don't think how hard this is. And what if it is tough? You got good teeth. Just grab a hold of it. Chew it. Okay? Now, let's go back about 100 million years before there ever was a star, moon, or anything in the world. That's a fair piece to go back. You could say trillions and be on the dot, too. Now, there was a time when there wasn't anything here. It was just all forever and eternity. So, all around here, because of in here, there's forever. We better put eternity first. I think he put forever and eternity first because we're used to forever, which is a designated number of ages or an undesignated number of ages until God calls a halt. It has a start and a beginning, but eternity always was. So you understand that what we're saying here. Well, let's cut it from eternity and forever. Now, why do we say it forever? Because within eternity, within God, is Zoe, which is how God begins doing all this. This is a form of Zoe, whether you want to believe it or not, although Zoe's really out here. Okay? Now, we've talked on this plenty. Now, there was a time when there wasn't anything here, just forever and eternity, and all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. So therefore, although I've got this on the outside, it's really on the inside, but he can put it outside. Well, just like you've got words on your inside, and you speak words out. Okay? Okay. Let's, he was in the beginning. Now, let's go stand on the edge of this banister and look over and see these things happen. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in bodily form because God is not in a body form. God is a spirit. Now that's speaking of the essentiality of God himself, just God, period. Never mind talking about this now, where God did something about what was within him so that you, if you'd have been there, and fortunately of the composition that allowed you to see something, you would see it. We are not of the composition to see this. But we can see this, and we can see this. You're not of the composition. You would have a vision. God allowed it. And there'd be something in there strike you where you could apprehend some thought maybe. But no, you can't see God, period. He is a spirit. All right. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father, that is Jesus Christ the Lord, hath thoroughly declared him, which means shown by his action and his words, his living, and all, the whole composite, you see God as much as you need to see God, or as far as God is going to let you see. That right there is the visible God, whether you admit it or not. But it was Jesus Christ that did it on the grounds, not of the flesh, but what lay within the flesh, and demonstrated through the flesh. Ever seen a beautiful woman? Oh boy, you think you got the word by the tail, get a beautiful woman. Turns to be a bag of sour beans. I don't think anything's much worse than sour beans, do you? Yeesh. See, what was inside starts coming out. So you see, you didn't. You don't worry about that figure. They couldn't see him. God was veiled in his temple, but everything God wanted to show, he could manifest through the temple. And as every temple block had to be perfectly right, and to be perfectly resonant, to manifest God, this one here was perfectly God in flesh, period. Marvelous. And we're going to get there too, in our own little sphere. Now, but notice now, there's nothing there up there at that time. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no anything. No nothing, he says. That's good. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great spiritual being, Jehovah God. Known originally as El, Elah, or El Elah. The eternal one, the strong one, bound by an oath. In other words, God and his word, God and his thoughts look out. Because that's all that's needed. The strong one speaks of omnipotence, and the bound by an oath speaks of his word. That's why Brother Branham always used the Rhema and the Logos interchangeably, and so does the Bible, and don't you get misled by these birds running around that think they know something. If you don't know who I mean by now, you've been under 4 feet of dirt for the last four years and don't even know. I don't doubt that. There was nothing there but Jehovah God who covered all space of all places at all times. He was from everlasting unto everlasting. He's the beginning of creation. And he's the beginner of creation. That's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing. Not move of an atom in the air and nothing. No, not no air. No, not anything. And yet God was there. And he'd be right here in the form of a pillar of fire. Nobody could see him. He's somewhere. You bet he hasn't left the church. That was God. Now let's watch a few minutes. No man has seen that now. That's the Father. That's God the Father. Now notice that after a little while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo or something, and you could see it only by spiritual eyes, because that's a theophany. It can appear and disappear. You wouldn't know it anyway. What do you mean appear and disappear if you can't see it in the first place? But it could make itself visible. Like, you know, when Jesus came back after the resurrection, he could appear and disappear. He didn't do that before. But he said, well, he did too. They tried to get hold of him. Oh, no. He just blinded their eyes and just snuck around. It wasn't him disappearing. No, he wasn't in that form right here. This form here is different than this form here. That form can't bleed. This form does bleed. This form doesn't have real flesh and bones, although it could sure look like it. This one does have, because they were grown in a womb. See? Okay. A little, see with your spiritual eyes, a little sacred halo. Now, what we could do here is sort of show this something like this here, you know. Little dots around here. I should have some artist up here making an aura. All right. But look now, while we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing. And we get right down to this question here, and you'll see how he brings it in. This McManery Inch and so on. Now, no one has seen God. And now the next thing we begin to see, by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That's what was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. That's right. Or as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea of what it was. So a part of God. Now, we listen carefully to Brother Branham's language. He says a part of God. In other words, the question has always come, was heaven emptied when God took on the form of Jesus Christ? Brother Branham always seemed to indicate in his preaching that God himself, period, everything that was here, came in there. I can't honestly tell you that was 100% what he had in his mind, though I think it was. Now, I've quoted you before without the exact words, and I was very remiss because I was so sick at the time, I didn't take them down from a friend of mine, where Brother Branham says, concerning the same thing, there is a part of God that never, ever changes or ever moves in the sense of what we speak of. This anointing that came out of here, veiled in a pillar of fire, manifested in here, came down here at Pentecost, and divided himself. I've always spoken of that as the sperm giving life to the female counterpart, which would be you and me. Don't ever believe that the Holy Ghost is female, it's male. There's teaching going around about that. Hogwash. Brother Banner said it's male. And you don't have to chew your cabbage twice, you know, to prove you're a sheep. You know. Okay. It's then like father. Here, the great cloud. Father. He's the entire cloud, let's say. Or he's even part. I don't care. Pure Holy Ghost. At Pentecost, coming down here. You call germatizing. Quickening. And the quickening is, well, I'll say what it is really. I might use it later on again. The quickening power really is the energizing to you as an individual who has no memory of this. No memory of this. You're brought down here, and then you're quickened by the Holy Ghost to the complete mentality, wisdom, and understanding of God, the Word, in your order down here. Because you always were a part of what's up here. But you see, you didn't have the chance to go into this area here, which would give you the memory and all those things necessary. Okay. The part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of idea what it was. A little light moving. That was the Word of God. See? What was it then? The Word had to be literally what lay in here coming into manifestation. So that has to be God. That's why if you try to make Jesus the Logos, you get into three gods. Now, I maybe shouldn't have said that, but Brother Branham said, and that's a tough part right there. That's one of the tough ones, because right now you've got like a cloning. You think maybe it was an accident the 20th century has a revelation by the use of languages that no other generation had? Did God clone? Good question. So let us sit. I'm asking questions because I don't have all the answers, but we study this together. That's the beauty of it. Now God gave himself birth to this son. Is he saying God gave himself and birth to this son, or is he saying God himself gave birth to this son? Now, no punctuation, no way to know. So I would say this, God himself did it because there's nobody else there. And at the same time, God was giving himself birth in a limited sense, because birth is a perpetuation of species. Right? So you got a limited sense in the one, and a more dynamic, confirming sense in the first one. It was God himself who did it, which was before there was even an atom. So this person here is not made of atoms. It's got to be solid God. Well, you say light's not necessarily made of atoms, it's made of energy. I would argue anything. I'm just saying that's what's said. I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to mix science with it. I wouldn't be smart enough anyway, see? There's no air, there's no atom. Now watch, Brother Branham quoting from John. And Jesus said in the New Testament, this one here said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had, or I had with you, which is we had, before the foundation of the world. That's up here. And I said, I came from God, I go to God. This did not come from God per se, though it did come from God. Because this came from God. Before there's atoms, anything else, this is supernatural. 100% something which nobody can figure. But there it is. No atoms. After this will come the atoms. Down here will come the atoms. And we will get changed in our atoms. And when we leave our atoms, we go back to our own theophany, which we'll put up here later on. We'll never get to it this morning, I can see that. What's the difference? As long as you enjoy yourself, you get some light. Just see, it'll trickle in, and God will, every word has power, especially for our hours that the prophet taught us. Whether we understand perfectly is not the thing. It will come together because we believe it. And it'll work in us, because that's the secret of this whole ministry, Brother Branham's, is to bring us into a place of immortality under the seventh seal. The bride has everything that she needs to put her in a rapture, so therefore she has everything to make her immortal. Some of you kids sitting here are going to be immortal. I'm happy for you. I think I'm going to turn into a pile of compost where I'm going. Which, it's all right. Glorified compost by the grace of God. See? Now, he said, glorify me before there was ever an Adam. Now, in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, he's combining 1:14 with those. God unfolding himself down to a human being. Now, that's what God was doing when he did this. When God sprang out of his own unique, I can't use the word separateness because there's nothing to separate. So when God sprang out of his own ownness, began moving right here. Coming down to here. So that he could come here and bring redemption. See? Now, God unfolding himself. How did God unfold himself? He unfolded himself with the understanding in his own mind it would be with his own children. That's what you're looking at. And the parent must always identify the child. The child cannot identify the parent. Well, you see, I don't know about that. You take the penguins, and little babies know right away. Their mothers. Well, the mother's got some kind of a smell or something. So she's the source of identification before the chick comes along. So you see, we're looking at here. We're looking at fact, then God begins to identify himself. And he will only identify himself with what he makes to be identified. It's got to be his offspring. You see it in nature. Baby calf runs to his mother. You know, really, except for a few oddities like dogs and cats and something like that. And, you know, some aren't too high up. Most babies will be nudged away by the mother. So get out of here, brat. You belong to somebody else. That's why God being El Shaddai, I'd arrested one. You think God's going to let the devil's crowd feed on him? Come on. They can no more get this word than a hog can go ahead, you know, stand up and play a fiddle. In fact, I bet on the hog. You want to know the truth. It's had to put that in there because it's the truth. You know, let's face it. The other is completely impossible, my brother, sister. No way. Now, God unfolding himself. See, God unfolding is God revealing himself. Now watch how he did it. Now back there, when that little halo comes, first came, now we can't see anything yet, but just with eyes supernatural, we see a halo standing there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now that's what he said. See, let's keep reading. Now, I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity, see? And now then, in this imaginary makeup, he begins to think of what things would be, and I can hear him say, let there be light. Now you say, well, Brother Brown is just imagining this, so there's really no scripture and truth to this. There isn't? You're kidding yourself? Why is he using scripture and calling it imaginary? He's not a prophet of God, he's a hoax. He's just telling you that you sit back and imagine you were there, but what's going on is not imaginary. But you've got to imagine it all because you ain't there, and if you weren't doing any good. Now, the word imagine is a very strong word. In the original Greek, it means reasons. Casting down imaginations, reasonings. So he's saying, let's reason this out, and we're going to have to go a little beyond the processes of true reasons. We've got to enter into a place of let's pretend we were there and let us be seeing what we would see if we were there, but we're not there. But this is as close as you're going to get. See? All right. Now, that's my understanding. You do what you want. See, I'm just up here talking to myself. You listen in if you want. Now, in this imaginary makeup, he began to think of the things he would think of things that would be. And I can hear him say, let there be light. Now, out of this here now, you come a word, and he said, let there be light. You're getting into the picture how God created all things by Christ Jesus. Not the flesh here. Not even that halo of light. What was in it? That's my understanding. That is right. And when he did, an atom burst and the sun came into existence, she whirled for hundreds of millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today, still burning, still breaking atoms. If the atomic bomb would ever let loose, the atomic chain would take this earth like the sun yonder, just bursting and blowing it apart. If you would stand yonder another planet, look off at this, it would look like another sun, where the atoms were burning, this earth. If the chain were ever, could get loose, it would just start whirling and turning, burning. Millions and millions of miles, reach those big flames of billions of Fahrenheit of the heat that goes off the sun. Now watch this now, beautiful. Now he made the sun. And then the first thing you know, a big clinker fell off and just staggered off, but spewed down below somewhere. Now then this Logos here, now the Son of God. Now watch it. He never changes his name. Now this Logos here, the Son of God, is watching it. He lets it fall for 100 million years and he stops it. Then another flies off. He lets it flies off, falls 1 million years, then he stops it. Now we're watching what's coming into existence. See, something now has got to be there, which wasn't there before, and how it's changed from one form to another. Now, he's got something in his mind. What's he doing? He's writing his first Bible. The first Bible that man ever looked was to the stars. He looked to the Bible and the stars, the zodiac. It's perfect. It dovetails with this Bible here, the one right here in the desk. It starts off with first the sign, the zodiac, is the first sign of the zodiac is the Virgin. Is that right? The last sign of zodiac is Leo the Lion. That's the first coming of Jesus, who came through a virgin. The second, he comes as a lion, the tribe of Judah, see? Now, he's talking about the flesh here because he first came up here. But he's talking now of creation, what was done. Okay. He comes as from the virgin. The next is the lion. Now he puts all the things in the sky placed out the way he wants it. All meteors, piece of earth, sun, etc., hanging there. Now, when science goes to looking for those missiles that fall, that doesn't disprove God. That just proves it to me, see? That just makes it more real. Now, notice, all these missiles hanging out there waiting the hot sun and going through the air because they collected. And the first thing you know, it began as an iceberg. What he's saying there, I imagine he's talking about comets and things. Now, that was this Earth coming into existence, just a big old piece of cinder flew off yonder. Down beneath it now is nothing but a turning, burning volcano completely. They erupt, and some of them are volcanic. The science claims that this world, the crust of it, we live on it, like the peeling of an apple. Now, it's about 25,000 miles around, 8,000 miles across. And think of it, in there is this great big burning volcano in the middle. And two-thirds of the earth, better than two-thirds, is in water. One-third of it's land, about one-third. And just look at this crust we're living on. It's full of dangerous explosives. Now, look at the crust itself, he said. There's a volcano inside on the crust. There's gas, gasoline, oil. There's sulfur. There's everything in there that can just blow you higher than a kite. You get enough sulfur and water joining, you could rip that's where they say it could rip the whole coast of California apart. See? Just all it needs is to get in the water, get in there. You just need certain things to happen, and man, she's gone. What's the formula of water, which is two-thirds of the earth? Two parts hydrogen, one of oxygen. They're explosives. That's right. Oxygen, man, that's burn. That'll really burn you. There's enough electricity in every room to separate the heat from the cold and to make enough electricity to burst the room. You can put enough atoms in a golf ball to blow New York off the face of the earth. And then man, sitting on a plot of hell, hits himself in the chest, defies God's word, and says there's no such place as hell. You're sitting on a big pot of it every day. And while you're here, you're sitting right on it, and hell's just beneath you. The Bible said hell is moved beneath. That's what the Bible teaches it. And now notice, but now, that was the first thing found when Jesus. Now watch the little halo yonder. Now I see it move out to this earth and get over the top of it and begin to move it over here close to the sun. is nothing but a big ball of ice, and when it begins to get melting, then great big glaciers begin to cut through up in the Northlands and come down, and then it did. It cut Kansas and Texas and all those places that went to the Gulf of Mexico, and the first thing, though, the whole thing was covered with water. Now, what you're talking about here, then, is Brother Branham is saying, before God did anything, he had to move into a place himself of some type of something that approximated material. So the light came up, which was already in there. And from that comes all the other creation. So God created all things by Christ Jesus. Because without him coming here, he could not have done the rest. He would not have done the rest. So you see what he's telling you, how he's going to get down here to us. Now, we get to Genesis 1, we get the Bible now, and out of our picture of the Bible, Genesis 1, the world was without form and void, and water was upon the face of the deep. Well, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Just a little bit of misquote there. Then he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the water. Now, he separated the water, brought up the hills, the lands, and so forth, dried it off, vegetation, everything else, he made it, and he made the moon, set the boundaries of the sea so it couldn't pass. He got all these things together, made everything, made all other things on it, animal life, bird life, bees, monkeys, whatever. Put it on here on earth. Then he asked the question, like a question asked. Let us, who? Father, Son, make man in our own image. Let us, plural. Why not? Because you know what? He had evidently run out of the first phase of exactly what he wanted. Which is, as Brother Branham said, hey, God, before he ever made a fish with a fin, had the water to swim already. So God would have everything ready before there could ever be something said about let us make man in our image. So we could see phase number one, through Christ Jesus, all things created. Then does God stop and say, now there's been a good job done in this manner, so now I'm going to go ahead and I'll just block you out, take you back here maybe, so to speak, whatever you want to do, that's his business, and I'll go on my own. No. Now, let us make man rich. Before it was let us do all this here. Now it's let us make man their image. Right? That's how it's going. Okay. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder or something like that, it could not be seen because that's a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more to make a trinity, really a tri-unity. It's not the word trinity, is not the right word. Although it's a right word. But if you want to get down to the definitive expression, my understanding isn't, Brother Branham, I know would agree, it's tri-unity. Like we are a tri-unity, yet we're a trinity. In other words, we got like a composite. We're one person. I call it the Trinity. And notice it's going to be offices, not people, of himself. By Father, by Son, and by Holy Ghost, constituting offices. And here was God, unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his Son, an offspring from himself, man in our own image. He was a supernatural being. Let him have dominion over the cattle, the field, and so forth. That's why how he was supernatural. Now, the man led the cattle everything, just like the Holy Ghost Spirit leads a real true believer today. The voice of man could speak and say, call the cattle this way, call the sheep to this pasture, call the fishes this water. See, he had dominion, everything obeyed him. But then there was no man to till the soil till Genesis 2. Now, if you want to know the exact truth then, man, though himself created, still in the sixth day, his original creation was in the meat and heart of the true original, making a body, is literally a step down. Literally a step down. You say, sure it is, because that's where all the problems came in. See? Now, let him have dominion. Now, everything obeyed him. There's no man to till the soil to Genesis 2. And then God formed man out of the dust of the earth. God made the flesh of man from the chemicals and everything else that he needed to put the man in. Now, science goes crazy. Science, when they find protein, they think that protein will bring the life. That's nuts. God can have pure protein, 680 trillion light years of space, and just be protein. That's all. Again, it's a picture of before there's a fish with a fin, there's got to be water. So before there's a man with a body, there's got to be protein. And the rest of the stuff, minerals and all the other stuff. So God had it here, and he did it. He formed man of the dust of the earth and put therein this supernatural spirit. What he made here now, up at this time, just subject to the flesh, he now wraps it in here under the sixth day. Now he was lying there. I can have many pictures of what he was doing, lying there, this, that, the other thing. Now he said, let's take it this way. See him standing like a tree. God had made him. He was dead as could be. His toes like the roots sticking in the ground. And God said, let there be, or breathed in the breath of life into him. And he jumped. He came to himself. Breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. Now he begins to move and move on. Now, what's he talking about? You think when he was up in this other form in the Spirit of God, he was a spirit man, that he couldn't move? Certainly he could move. What's he into now? He's into Zoe. He's into the Zoe part. And Brother Branham said a baby that's about to be born is jerking muscles and nerves, but it's not alive until the baby comes down and that spirit standing there, allowed of God, but not of God, comes into the child. And he seemed to indicate that was like one of those better angels. Don't ask me. The indication's there, but I'm not going to say much about it. But it's allowed of God. Now, the angels were not the Spirit of God. They were formulated. They're made spirits. That life then coming in, that's why he said every mother, no matter what she's like, at that moment has a sweet nature. I wonder how far you can go with that. Could there be in this hour that isn't as true as it was in Brother Branham's day? Because you see women today, they drop their babies off in restrooms and God knows what. Yet as you can't say that maybe at that hour they didn't feel something in their hearts, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just looking at this thing and wondering at the end time that maybe it's got so perverted the sweet spirits diminished by this hour. You can maybe say that, I don't know. So I'm just looking at things and wondering myself because things are moving in such a terrible way. He now begins to move. That's the physical. Then God took from his side a piece of him, a rib, and made the woman. Now, where did he get the spirit woman? Well, it tells in Genesis 1:26, let us make man image, spirit likeness, our own likeness, created he them, male and female. He made the burly, burly spirit for the man. He made the tender, the delicate, feminine spirit for the woman. And then he talks about that, but I don't see any particular use in going on with it. So, what we're looking at here then is what we saw this up at the very beginning. We saw how that Brother Branham told how that God began to move himself into a form until he could come down here into a form that he himself could come into and literally abide in. In other words, this would be the temple and the throne room which God himself could inhabit. And whether you're going to make it all God or part of God, I prefer to go all God, to be honest with you. Because I don't know that Brother Branham actually said anything different but to make us look at the thought that we were all definitely at the fact that God was in him, all of God. Now up here, we look at the fact that we were in God. All these dots up here. Now, really, one dot is no different from the other dot, except as a matter of God wanting something from the one that he wouldn't want from the other when he got him into manifestation in Zoe. So therefore, if you were called to God to be a pastor, you're already a pastor up there. Not that you're different from the congregation. It's God choosing what he wants out of the vessel. There's only one spirit, only one God. There's one lump of clay. All depends what God wants. So therefore, it's already predestinated in the mind of God. Everything is there to bring to pass what's up there. So, we see the little fellers up here, and all of these are called various things. I wrote it down here, so we might as well write it down here. Now they're sons of God. I wrote that in Abraham. They're sons of faith, which they are. And they're sons of the Spirit, which they are. And they're brethren, which they are. And what else are they? Their thoughts. They become logos as they get manifested in their own degree. Their attributes. And their seed. And they're called soul. And I guess there's other things too, but you got a fair number right there without adding more of them. Now, he mentions attributes. Let me just read something here. It's kind of nice. I thought pretty well spoken of. This is on God's His Own Interpreter. And he said, now all we are today is the display of His attributes. Okay, so up in here then, all of these things here. Now, you say, what's the Son of God? Attribute. What's the Son of God? Son of Abraham. What's the Son of God? Son of faith. What's the Son of God? Son of Spirit. What's the Son of God? Brethren. What's the Son of God? A soul. What's the Son of God? A seed. It's back and forth. They're synonymous. You're not 9, 10 people there. You're one person. And each appellation lets you know the measure of the grace of God in that particular area. Now, what does he say here? We are all today, all we are today. That's all we are. This is it. Don't think any different. Don't make it higher. Don't make it lower. All we are. What are we? The display of his attributes. All of these, all in here now. Come down here. We are the display of his thoughts, the attributes, his seed, the soul, the sons of God, Abraham, royal seed. That's a good one. There you are. Display of the attributes. Now we're going to cover attributes later on. And we'll find the attributes are a part of the whole, predicated by the source and never the mode. In other words, intrinsically a noun. We'll look at that, but not today. I haven't got time. Okay. I got to keep reading here. And all we are today is the display of his attributes. First, he was not even God. We would just call him the Eternal One. He wasn't God because the word in English, God, means object of worship, and there was nothing to worship him. So he was the great, he was the Eternal One, the main fountain of all intelligence. The head. The head's here today. Spirit form. Not some goofy preacher, some big mouth. There are no big ones amongst us. I got a big church, see a big salary, big this. Yeah, you got it. You got also a Porsche maybe in it. You got a Mercedes-Benz. Well, I got a Nissan, now it's in Japanese. Well, that's okay. That doesn't make me bigger than you because my car costs $15,000. Yours costs $5,000, $7,000. And the guy that's got a Mercedes number $65,000, he didn't cut any ice with me. I only paid about $5,000 more than I should have paid for my car. That's all. It's not my fault. It's the government's fault. I got traded. If I was a mechanic, I'd have got me a second-hand one. See? What's a car anyway? And I said, he's the fountain of all intelligence. Here it is up here. Then he elects some pope and some bishop. You talk about a stinking mess. You know, I can understand why God wants to vomit, because even I can vomit, and I'm not even involved. But you know how it is? If you look at something, my sister-in-law could not eat, you might not eat another egg again either. But she, one day, she saw an egg was broken when a little chicken was going to hatch in it. And she saw what the yolk was. The yellow part. Yeah, the yolk. And that was the stomach of the chicken. And she went. Now, you might not eat another egg. Now, she got upset with those eggs, but I said, hey, kid, I'm going to tell you something, Carol. I'm not eating that egg that you saw. So I'll give her it. That's the way you got to get your mind to the subject, anyway. God's the head of the whole thing here. The object of worship. Fountain of all intelligence. See? Whoo, that's marvelous. Because everything that man ever found out was only because God had made it that way. There's all intelligence out here. Man. You know, people write whole books on the wing of a butterfly. And somebody comes by and writes another book. And we've come to the place now with computers. I understand now that knowledge is doubled every year by now. Or will soon will be. Couple that with AIDS. You got a lot of smart people going to hell in a hurry. I can't help but laugh at it, but honest it. See, man by wisdom knew not God. As old Dr. Buckman says, you get colder by degrees. Please don't call me doctor. I never earned that. I mean, Brother Adam, I think, facetiously gave it or something. A lot of people call doc. His brothers call doc, too. They call me doctor. He used to tell people what their troubles were. I could tell them even doctor terms at one time. But it wasn't my ministry, so God didn't let me keep it, which I'm very happy. Now, in this fountain of all intelligence, there was not an atom, molecule, or anything. Light nowhere, star, moon, nothing else. God, what we know was God, the great spirit that was eternal, never began, never will end. He was there. Wonderful. That's all. And in him, attributes. His attributes to be God, then his attributes to be Father, to be Son, to be a Savior. So he's got to manifest, to be a healer. All these attributes are in him. And now these things that have unfolded, or these truths, you see, about these things unfolded, since then are just his attributes being made manifest. So all the things then, like healer, savior, all these things, that's just unfolding of God, manifesting what is in him, the attributes. What I mean attributes were his thoughts. Now here you're getting a little close to what could be sticky if you just don't watch. Because you know, you've got to have a thinker before there are thoughts. And you've got to have an attributor before there's attributes. The attributes are never the whole. Enough attributes will comprise the whole. In other words, every single child that God had in him, don't you ever believe, didn't come out. That's all he had. Now let's keep reading. What I mean attributes were his thoughts. And a word is a thought expressed. Now that's what he's talking about. That's what he uses the word attributes and thoughts interchangeably. Because an attribute has to manifest. Otherwise, what use is it? You mean to tell me that a cow will get that? Don't go, whoop, whoop, whoop. Huh? Well, now, if he's a dog out of South Africa, he can go, whoop, 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 whoop. He's white or something. He's a dog. You mean to tell me you won't drink water? And you won't eat food, and you won't sleep. Now, some people can't sleep. There's something wrong with them. You can't feel. You can't help it. That's what you are. See? There's no. So, we get the understanding here. What God is, he can't help either. Well, could he? There's no way God can help it. All he can do is manifest. So, it's already lined up. See? Now, so, your thoughts and your attributes, in the case of God, can be synonymous. Perfectly legitimate. Let's keep reading. But my thoughts were attributes. A thought is a word expressed. An attribute is also an expression. Then what was in his thinking, when he said, let there be light, and there was, let there be, that was it. So he's showing you how there's attributes. Now remember, you Christians were thoughts before there was a world. That's perfectly true. And you are the manifestation of his thinking. Now, because you were his thoughts, you were attributes, but the reprobate out there wasn't. He was also in the thinking. See? So when you get thoughts and attributes, you are working very close in a pattern the human mind cannot take unless it goes to a realm of reasoning that is spiritual.
and reasoning realm of the spiritual is faith, because you can't figure it, but you can see it by faith. Now, smart guy come along and argue with you. Don't argue. It ain't worth it. Well, you're not a thought of God. I can tell you right now, so you're not an attribute. So you weren't just thinking. I wasn't thinking. I'm an attribute. Come, Lord. You know, you're not smart about it. You just let stick in your stand. Bless God. Why shouldn't you? Now, remember, you Christians were his thoughts before there was a world. That's what he's talking about now, because their attributes are the same thing. And you are the manifestation of his thing. That's exactly true. Before there was even a world, you were in Christ. Amen. In God in the beginning. That makes you then, you see his subjects, and the whole thing is God himself materializing himself, tangible, so he could be handled and seen and so forth. And that's what God is the whole thing. You like that? I like that. Now, Brother Branham does not make God universal mind, but he shows what was in God as pertaining to his mind, knowledge and wisdom, had to manifest. And the thoughts were living thoughts. And so therefore, a source. And therefore God had to manifest those thoughts the same as his attributes. But God's not universal mind. Now you see, you were his thoughts. Synonym, put the synonym in there. Not in contradistinction to, but the same attributes. Now God's got to manifest that. There's no way he can't. See? So therefore, we are the attributes and the thoughts of God manifested. Now I know the human mind does not want to accept that on the grounds of the factor of sin within the human body. But now you got to listen to Brother Branham. Take that subject up. Now, that was the thought there about, I saw that in Antibes. Now, let me see something in here. All right. What we have talked about here, and read from Brother Branham. How's my time? Did I miss it? Doesn't matter. Okay, we got Danny. We got two tapes. Okay. What we got here from Brother Branham is actually John 17 that I just quoted partially. What I did, I mentioned in John 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, personally, I don't understand that. That last part, personally, about the fact of him saying here that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That may be somewhere way down the road. It may be something right here at this moment. I don't know. But I know the fact that he said, and therefore cannot be wrong, pertains to us now, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. Now, they were at one time, and it's a matter of getting back there. And the getting back has been accomplished through the shed blood, which allows the Holy Ghost to fall upon us and reunite us to God in the form that we are in, with the promise of immortality. Going back to the same righteousness and the righteous sphere that is in God. So if you can understand the righteous sphere that is in God, and you can understand it through Jesus Christ, and you really understand what's being said, then you can see that you and I are going back, not just potentially, which we have now, being the righteousness of God, but entirely the righteousness of God in the whole cosmos of God. Now, man, just think of that. You can't think of it. All you can do is say, thank God. And the more that you let your thinking go and try to realize this and do realize it, the more you will position yourself with beautiful Jerusalem. Not the one on earth. Forget it. That's Hagar. Who needs it? If you think it isn't, who's over there now but Hagar? Out of the millions, Palestinians and Jews, there'd be 144,000. No more and no less. Proving what I said a while ago, only so many sons. And God had a plan for everyone, even the little tiny baby that dies. Going to go up in a rapture. You say, why would God do it? Because it shows something of His infinite grace that lies within the attributes. Because within the attributes there are graces. Why, we just got to go on. Okay, let's look at this again. I in them and thou... No, let's read. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. See, we bypassed that. We weren't in Him for that purpose. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me. And they may be perfect in us. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now there's a promise, you know, in the church ages where He said, I'll make them know whom I have loved. Perhaps this could be white throne, brother, sister. But it's going to be. You bet, because the whole world's going to be there. There won't be one person that's going to miss it. And we're going to know. There's going to be a bride there. You know, if we could only let this sink in, how godly we would live. If any generation needed its mind renewed, the mind circumcised, this is that generation. Because this generation needs to repent, repent, repent. Teach. Don't get little feelings about it. That's what I said. If you ever get up in this church and start saying, well, now, Mel may say, well, you know, I got, on a testify, I got mad at Dave today because we worked close together and Dave didn't have his machine right. And I got mad ready to poke in the nose with this and shut up and tell Dave that. You tell that here, Mel, we throw you out the door. You throw yourself out because you're a deacon. Say, Mel, throw yourself out the door and Dave help him. We don't go for that nonsense. No. That kind of stuff is ridiculous. Confess, you got false, confess to each other. Don't by your stupid feelings and things. Go by the word of God. Say what God is saying. Here's Jesus saying right here. We need that. Amen. I need it. I'm not talking down to you. I'm illustrating. You know how it is. Maybe Steve get mad at Norm. Who knows? I'm just using illustrations here. And get mad at ever get mad at your big sister? I can understand why. That girl is so capable. Everybody says that Emma, man, she's a capable, lovely girl. The rest of you are too, but that Emma, she's really something. We got lovely people there. I really appreciate the lovely people there. The good spirit, the grace of God. So don't you go blowing off at me now, or I'll come in with the 4x4. Make me a liar. I can't stand that. I'm bad enough by myself. Anyway. So all right. Now, from what we have discussed here, and this will likely close us off, from this what we see, the roles, we see roles of dominant and subdominant. In the program of God, as pertaining to sons, is what it's really all about. And what a gracious father would do for sons and by sons and so on. So we see the dominant role is this one up here. Jesus, the Logos, coming down to here. The subdominant are all here. And that goes for men like Moses. Men like Paul, Isaiah, Abel, Noah, Elijah, William Branham. Great men. See? So there's a dominant, subdominant role. We as subdominant accept with joy the grace given to us, but we must never lose sight of the fact that we were and are sons. The subdominant role never allows you to forget that you're sons. If you forget you always were and are a son and will ever be a son, then you are not even a subdominant. You're lying to God. You're saying, Lord, you vindicated Prophet William Branham, but he's just full of baloney. Then you're just a big old buzz fly floating around the baloney. I like that. He's giving us tree of life. And as anxious sons of God as Adam, who knew who he was, anxious to get back, scramble for the tree of life that's been exposed for the first time in 6,000 years to give us immortality. Listen, brother, that's something. We are not dogs or goats or chickens. Jesus never came for dogs and goats and chickens and chimpanzees, though they be the missing link, so to speak. He never came to redeem the serpent. He came to ransom his brothers, God's own sons. Let's think of something else. With this all, there is a great mystery. This question as to how we were in Christ and yet got down here by some natural election predestination. I would suggest we set the mystery of it aside and believe the truth. We were all in God and we're still in God. Though somehow we went astray, we are now all back as the redeemed of God. So what's the difference? You ever lose anything and then find it? Oh boy. Your heart constricted and you feel so bad and you know you feel all bad inside, especially you know if you're a little kid and you lost something to your parents. And then you found it. Oh, heaven doesn't come down here. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what we're talking about here. What if you were lost? And you were lost. That doesn't make you a chicken. I'll tell you something. Chickens molt. They're the most horrible looking sights. Eagles molt too. There's a clean eagle in the east and there's a dirty eagle. He's a vulture over here. They use two terms, eagle, for everything. Clean and eagle. Clean and dirty, they call them. The clean eagle is in India, by the way. And over there in India, he gets way up in the air. When he gets old and his eyesight begins to go, he goes. They tell me he goes to a certain tree and he rubs his eyes back and forth till it just rips all the outside off and everything else. Then he gets way up in the air and then he hits the water like a torpedo. And his feathers go everywhere. Then he climbs out of the water and he's almost at the mercy of every single thing in the world as he walks up and down and he gets his feathers. That's a lot like the Christian, but he always was an eagle. Don't worry. He'll get his feathers back, the real feathers he lost. Get new ones. He'll get right back where he's supposed to be. See, somehow, what we lack in understanding and cannot be explained is truth, and it can be believed because it's vindicated. Now, that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at this message and what Brother Branham said, applying other quotes to it and showing you what is the truth. And you don't have to understand it. And I don't have to understand it. We just believe it. But I got news. We'll understand more as time goes on. And we don't try to push it and try to figure it. We just know that this, in this message Brother Branham preached, he wanted to get that across to us. Now, what time? Any time? Huh? 20 minutes. Well, I'll read what we read last week then, and then we'll start over again. This is great. I retrogressed. Brother Branham's sermons are marvelous. I go home and I say, well, I missed this point. I better go over it. Forget it. Just like the Bible. It says, here, you can't be the Word unless you're a thought. In other words, you cannot be what we're talking about here, and in this sermon, you're not a part, you're not in it, unless you were back there. See? You had to be in his thinking first. You were. You know why? Because look at it. Ain't nothing but God. Nothing but God. So what's he going to do? He's going to work with God. So everything in here, thinking, attributes, everything, God. And he's simply going to do something about bringing out God. You say, ah, Lord, you mean to tell me us poor chicken, well, eagles down here, sort of clip wings and too many toenails of them. You mean to tell me that that's come out of there? You bet I'm telling you right now. Now, there's where repentance comes in, renewing your mind. Not some silly feeling, but I did somebody dirt or somebody did me dirt and I got mad and he got mad. Fact. That's just a little child play. That's junk. Get this lined up. We won't have this junk down here. Get the truth. Listen, the truth will take care of the vessel. That's the trouble. The vessels try to take care of the truth. Forget it. Shut up and sit down. Stitch your mouth up and listen. And put joy instead of fear in the heart. I'm not telling you, I'm telling all of this. That's the attitude. That's the spirit. This is what's truth. It's all of God. Well, that man, forget the outward manifestation. This is nothing but a bypass. A little day that you won't even remember. When God manifested New Jerusalem in every child. Oh, man, I tell you what. Back in the old days of Pentecost, he'd be cutting a rug and screaming and climbing a wall by now. Can't even get hardly a smile out of people. I've taught you not to it. I'm not blaming you now for what I taught you. I'm glad you just listen. Because when your emotions creep in, unwarranted, there's problems. We don't want unwarranted feelings and things. We want genuine spiritual uplift where the mind becomes suffused, every channel of the heart, until God's Word, so enlivened by the grace that's extended today, will take these vessels and transform them, what I'm talking about, and then stand there as a Son of God in His glory. Brother, sister, listen, this is what the Bible's about, and it's right upon us today. It's right here today in our midst. That's the thing that drives me buggy. But I'm going to tell you, God's in charge. And I just say with Brother Branham quietly, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, help us, we won't stand in her way. But we'll applaud her on to the end. See, you had to be thinking. But you see, in order to be tempted, to take the trials of temptation, you had to bypass the theophany, the form that Jesus had. You couldn't have it. You had to come down here in flesh. That was your anamorphosis. You and I have never yet been the true person. Do we really are? There's not one here that's born again, the child of God, but regrets every bad word, every bad thought, anything ever done or might be done. You even hate yourself of like being a carcass. You haven't had a chance yet, brothers and sisters. Eye hasn't seen, ear heard. You've got to have faith for this. In flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you sin, what? We have an advocate with the Father. Every single one that falls into sin, and you can't help it. You were tricked. You were born in it. You were sold into sin. Every one of those bunched down there, I don't care who they are, the biggest hoodlum can be saved. I don't care what he is. God is going to raise up every single child of His through Jesus Christ the Lord. See? But listen, He said, first you had to come right down the line, regular line, from attribute, the thought, to the flesh. See? And then He said, before the foundation of the world, Jesus had His name put on a book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. He's the owner of it, through God. Then He became the Word. A theophany could disappear and appear and then come back again. Then He came down into flesh, human flesh, and He died. And He rose again in a glorified condition. He came back. But you had to bypass the theophany. And you became a flesh man, tempted by sin. But listen, there's a word for you. When you get out of here, it's waiting for you. Now, for the first time, you can see yourselves as you are. The 91-year-old lady up there. Hug Brother Branham, my beloved brother. The man says, you don't recognize her, do you? No, who is she? She was a 90-year-old, 91 years old when she got saved in meaning. Every woman, a masterpiece of sheer beauty. Every man, a masterpiece of sheer beauty in the glory of God. And just in an a figure that can appear and disappear. My, just wait till you get in the figure that God wanted you, glorified flesh. Combined with that up there. He said there wasn't a ripple of any sensation when they hugged him. You try that now. There's pure respect and love. I believe there's such a thing as touching, but the way that is congenial, but it's dangerous. Women today, how hard for men? They have a hard role. Men criticize and they're rough on them because of the fall. They got a nature that they don't even understand, the way they dress many times. I saw a girl the other day walking downtown. She looked like she had beautiful, she had a nice looking girl, nice clothes, everything else. But then as she walked by, I noticed that her skirt was just about up to the middle of her backbone. Now, there's such a thing as a kick pleat. There's such a thing as necessary pleats, and women need splits in their skirts. I saw a girl with a black man one day. Nothing against a black man. I felt sorry for him that he picked up such a cheap hunk of white trash. And she had her split right up to almost her umbilicus in the front. She's showing that she was a prostitute. Why would women do that? Should Brother Branson said about that nature. Why? We're going to read it here. Why would a woman do? She doesn't understand. That's where godly husbands are so necessary. I talk to my wife every now and then. She can bug me, and she's a very modest person, a very fine person. I notice every now and then their heels get a little bit too high. What is it? You women don't want them any more than God wants it. What is this thing? See? We don't really understand what lies behind it all. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the revealed word of God, can do these wonderful things for us to get us out of it. But you see, we're trapped into this sin, but one day we're going to get out. Now he said, and he said here, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside you. Now just a minute, it gets the Spirit of God to bring immortal life, but I've already got the Spirit of God. I've got an eternal life. It's this flesh with his senses, everything else that messes us up. But now the Holy Ghost coming in will let me these bodies down here. Once it touches these atoms, I'm a candidate. Can't help it. It's got to respond to the resurrection. See? Immortal life inside of you. And this will throw the body into subjection. In other words, it's the one hope we've got that these bodies will respond to the nature of God as they should. We'll defy the things out here that aren't nice. We'll take the proper view of how the body should go. We won't find the chore. He himself said, take my yoke upon you, learn and eat. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It'll give peace to your souls. There is a place, brother, sister, even right here on this earth, at this time, where we can have a life which is dedicated, and though thoroughly, not thoroughly manifesting God, will to a degree manifest the Lord and be pleasing unto our Father. We're going to read more. I stopped at this place here. Now we can start on that on Saturday night when we come into the foot washing communion service of next weekend. So the Lord bless you. I hope you were getting this under wraps until next time we look at it some more. And we'll try to go from there. So all right, shall we just rise at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you again for your kindness to us. You gave us a good time here studying your word, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us in our lives, in our endeavors, O God, to be as we should be in all humility and kindness and goodness and grace, Lord, because of the Holy Spirit within us teaching us and leading us, Lord God in heaven. If we think, as Brother Branham said so truthfully, we know it's true, that man in that spirit form was given dominion over the beasts of the field. The cattle, all of these things had dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air could say, come here, go there, fish in the water, birds in the air, animals here and animals there, even tell a tree to move. I suppose that was there too, because it would be again, everything in the perfect symmetry of God. And then Lord, if a man could do that by the Holy Spirit, we know that there is more than hope for us, that we can be led of your Spirit to walk uprightly as we ought to in all things. And Lord, where we're failing, I know that you've given us power to overcome. I realize that. Now, Father, I'm confessing that is your truth, because it is your truth. But Lord, I must also confess, as is only too well known by everybody in this building, and above all you yourself, that I do not stay in that happy position of obedience to the Holy Spirit at all times whatsoever, because many times, Lord, I put my word, which is my will, against your word, which is your will. And Lord, in heaven, I don't want that. I would like, Lord, like everybody else in the building wants, to get a real victory to the place where we saw Brother Branham come. I know, Lord, I will not go to that place but come to where he came. But Father, I know in the place where you have put me, I can come to the full measure of what you want out of me. That much I do know. Help me and help each one in this building, Lord, to realize that, and by the grace of God to come to it. That each one of us, Lord, recognize and know that we are sons of God. Unfortunate, and yet not unfortunate because of your great integrity, and we trusted it. We bypassed where Jesus bypassed, down here to suffer and be tempted, but then he came down and bore a whole lot more than we did. So help us, Lord, to align with him, take up our crosses daily, and allow you to nourish us up with the strength we have need of, to walk in the light, to fellowship one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, and in no way, Lord, to be censorious or judgmental, but in every, Lord, to be helpful and loving and kind, yet firm in the faith which is delivered unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, and I mean it. Help us, O God. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.